Slightly had a little bit of an issue there with the news, so we're just going to go straight into a song. I put up the bed and everything, it wasn't even there. Let's have a bit of music, shall we? I think I'll have a little bit of the Specials. I haven't played those for ages. This is a classic. This is called Ghost Town. And my guest, do you like this one? Yes. That's from Stephen, one of the top 10 songs of all time. Here we go. to Razor Light. I'm sure they're still going. That was a great track. And we started off with the Specials with Ghost Town, which is just a classic. Now, we've got my guest coming up in a while. He's got his guitar in the studio. He's also brought in some books that he's written as well. I didn't even know about the writing. I thought you were going to say... I wasn't sure what's... He said, I've got something for you in my backpack. And I saw... the laptop, and I was like, wow, this is like the gonna be my lucky day. I thought, is that an iPad or something coming out? So I've never had a gift like that before. I don't normally make guests bringing gifts, you know that, but, except for sometimes Martin Jeffries from MJ Media. He sometimes brings in packets of biscuits, and at Christmas time, the best thing about Martin is he came in with 6 mince pies, which I'm not really partial to mince. I'm not really that keen. And then he sat, and by the time I finished my interview with the guest he brought in, he'd already eaten 3. So well done to Martin if you're listening out there. Right, it's just coming up to 11:08. I think we will have a little bit more new music, actually. Let's have a little bit of the JoJo Man Band. This is a fantastic track. I'm really loving this, and you know I love the JoJo Man Band. This is called Zombie.
Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Is your child struggling to achieve their best in English or maths? At Guided Learning, we want to support your child to be more confident in their learning. If their school says that they're below expectations or not being challenged enough, then face-to-face sessions with our fully qualified teachers can help. Google us at Guided Learning Brentwood to see how we can help your child achieve their best.
The elements influence us each year, whether it's heat in summer or cold in winter. At JWD, we can take care of all your heating and air conditioning needs at a reasonable price, with finance available through our partners Can Do, if required. Our engineers give their promise to be clean and tidy, whilst carrying out works to the highest standard. Give us a call on 0776 009 239 or visit our social media pages at JWD Heating.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Leilina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden, sip on exceptional cocktails, savour unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Phoenix FM.
still out gigging, you know. They've I saw them, well, I didn't see them live, but I know there's just two of the Bananaramas, because they always lose one of the Banana Girls, disappears off somewhere. But they are still gigging and doing loads of gigs at the moment, both looking incredible. And, yeah, people just reliving their, I don't know, reliving their youth and just enjoying the music and enjoying it. And that's the whole point about it. It doesn't matter about your age or where you're from. It's about enjoying music and also enjoying live music. And sometimes putting your hands in your pocket to pay to see live music. But I'll be talking to my guest, Stephen, and he'll be telling you about what his thoughts are on the music industry in 2024 and why it is important to support independent artists, as I always say on this show, because otherwise we will just have rich people creating music, and that's not what we want. We want it available to everybody. And it really starts in things like schools. You know, when you think about a lot of the schools have lost their ability to actually teach music, or, you know, getting instruments. And we've got a fantastic Brentwood school here in Brentwood that obviously, you know, they've got a fantastic music department, but a lot of schools don't have that anymore. So it is important, and it's good for creativity as well, because not all kids are math geniuses, and some children are just fantastic musicians naturally. And it's just great fun to play in bands and do all that sort of stuff. And even if you're not particularly musical, everybody can just basically hit a tambourine or use a shaker, even if it's out of time. Just don't do that when you're playing with a professional band. Don't get out with the tambourine and start playing it if you can't play.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Right, let's have a look at the traffic and the travel. I don't think it's too bad out on the roads at the moment, but let's have a look at Brook Street roundabout. Not too bad, it's flowing pretty nicely. A1023, not too much of a problem. And heading up the A12 towards Chelmsford again, running okay, but you do have the 40-mile-hour speed restrictions between junction 13 and 16. I think the turn-off for Chelmsford that way is actually closed. You have to go up to Gallywood and go on to the next junction, but there are diversion signs in operation. Road closed due to construction on Wants Road both ways from Rittle Road, that's the B1002, and in Brentwood on the A128, that's looking actually fine now. There was a little problem there earlier, but that looks like it's clear. One lane closed due to a truck having a tyre changed on the M25, junction 29 of the A127. Traffic is coping well in lane 1 of 4, a mile from junction 29. Here is Meghan Trainor and T-Pain. Like this.
She got that booty, that type of boom boom, that bass that I like. I said, who me? I keep it juicy. You better hold on, hold on for dear life. Oh, cause she's cute and she's classy, thick, bold, and sassy. She knows what she doing, she moving, she's moving. I know it's hard to imagine, but why you came out of the blue. But I've been like this, I've been like this. Run your mouth, but I'm on your lips. Ain't nothing new, still that. Cause I've been like this. I've been like this, I've been like this. Take your shots while I blow a kiss. Ain't nothing new, still that. Cause I've been like
baby, I'ma do the, shake a little, make a jiggle. Put that thing in the middle for making a bizzle. But you're doing it just the way I like.
Spell my name if you don't like me.
Now the thing you do excites me. I'm gonna have to get a little bit spicy.
Oh, you do the most. Oh, darling, you must be obsessed with me. You like me, like me, like me. But I've been like this, see, I've been like this.
See, talk that smack right among your lips. Well, ain't nothing new, it's
still there. Cause I've been like, been like, been like this. I said I've been like this, been like this. Talk that smack right among your lips.
Well, ain't nothing new, it's just me and my. Cause I've been like, been like, been like this. Ooh.
Emotion, who I believe are a local band. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Zivon, and the only singer, songwriter, guitarist, and I found out he's a violinist as well. It's Stephen Foster Pilkington. Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
Finally,
hello.
I get to meet you.
Hi.
After seeing you a lot on Facebook and loads of videos of you everywhere, I think you've been on Bob's show before. I think Bob Simpson.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
He said, I remember him sending my regards.
Ah.
So there we go. So we're going to talk loads about music. So let's start at the beginning. What's your earliest musical memory?
Earliest musical memory? I don't know, The Shadows. How about that? On Thank Your Lucky Stars. And I used to think one silly moment ago, many years ago, that they used plastic plectrums so they wouldn't get electrocuted. But, of course, you know, the fingerboard might take care of that. Yeah, that was my very earliest memory. Down, 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 down. You know, that one. And all that sort of thing.
Yeah, that wasn't me playing, by the way, just in case you wondered.
No, what is it? I can't remember. That's it, yeah.
And that was an instrumental, because the Cliff Richards, was he before them and before they... Or was it after?
I don't know, actually. I mean, I don't know the history of them. Probably they were a ready band, all ready to go, you know, because they're, yeah.
Was there anybody else musical in the family before you picked up the guitar or the violin, or was it just something you heard and you thought, I want to be able to do that?
My dad, he played the piano rather well. My nan used to also play piano, and she loved singing and so on. And we had lots of music around the house nearly all the time, so it was good. And I mean, it's quite interesting. I mean, I started learning the violin when I was about 8 years old. And I remember my mum, for my birthday, bought me Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto. And I've always liked it since. In fact, I think it's one of the greatest pieces ever. And I started listening to nothing but classical on the whole till I was about 16. And then punk rock came along. And, yeah, that was the beginning of the end, I suppose, yeah. You saved my life and ruined it, right, all at the same time.
So were you playing in any sort of little orchestras or doing anything with the violin up until the age of 16, or...?
Yes, I was one of the beneficiaries of that fantastic system where anyone, absolutely anyone, once upon a time, could learn a musical instrument, whether it was guitar, bass, violin, drums, whatever it may be. And it's fantastic, because a lot of... This is where... I mean, music is so therapeutic. It's something to fall back on. I mean, yes, academics are very, very important, and I teach maths, so I might even know a thing or two about that. But also, I mean, for your mental health, the arts are absolutely essential. This is an equation that a lot of people... don't, you know, they just put the left hand of the equation and they don't balance it with the arts, which is where the mental health probably lives, to be honest. Yeah. If you get my drift.
I was just saying about in schools, you know, we've got Great Brentwood School here that's got a fantastic music facilities, but a lot of schools now, they don't, you know, you don't have that luxury, and it is really important because kids, there's something about doing music and being involved in that, even if you're not particularly very good at playing an instrument, it's the enjoyment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's probably until I was, I was a very naughty boy at school. I think the teachers found me rather confusing because I loved all Beethoven and Shostakovich and people like that. Yeah, I was absolutely useless academically because I'd spend all my evenings just, I used to get scores out of these things and follow them and try and learn what I could. And all my academics suffered. But quietly, I sort of, studied my maths and physics and things, which I did find really fascinating, and hence that's why I teach it these days. And it was great, yeah, yeah. And I actually passed all my exams, to everyone's total surprise. Yeah.
Do you remember your first gig with a guitar? Do you remember where it was, the venue, and what songs you were doing?
Yes, it was with my first band I formed back in 77-ish, and we were called Fourth Wall, for some reason. And our first gig was at this nightclub in Scarborough, where I was brought up, where I went to school. And it was actually a strip club, usually. And that was our first gig.
Yeah. Did it go down well, or not really? Or was it okay? Or?
Well, it's one of those sort of clubs where they normally have people just sort of... On the pool, as it were, and lots of women sort of dancing around their handbags to something like the Doolies or whatever, or Guys and Dolls, all those sort of bands of that period. And we'd come on with this, with our, I suppose, noise at the time. And I don't know, we still got paid, which is a very rare thing. Well, I don't know, not in certain areas. I mean, there's so many bands being asked to play for free. But we're doing original material and getting paid quite handsomely with free beers as well in a club that was totally inappropriate for what we're trying to do, I think. Yes.
Yeah, you got a bit of punk and then you had bingo in the in the interval, yeah, isn't it? Everyone got their bingo cards. But punk was, it, when we, I mean, it's a long time ago now, but when we think about what it was, because you were coming out of having like disco and, pop, and then this punk was just, to older people, anybody above 30, it was just a noise, but it was just a massive, it was quite a short amount of time that punk was there, but it was an explosion.
Well, what I think, I mean, before I discovered classical sort of in a big way, I mean, I listened to lots of Beatles, Kinks, Stones, all those classic bands of the 60s, The Move, all that lot, and they're amazing, fantastic songs, really fantastic songs. And what happened with punk, I think someone suddenly started taking a look at lyric writing and taking it rather seriously in the same way that Ray Davies particularly did, for instance, and Bob Dylan and so on. And you got this all of a sudden with some really quite poetical songs, actually, with some serioso messages going on. And that's what I think interested me, funnily enough, even though I was bottom of the class in English for a while. But, in fact, that's what got me into writing as well. Actual lyrics was, as opposed to, I mean, there are great, wonderful party songs you had in the 70s, like Tiger Feet and Ballroom Blitz and all that sort of stuff, and wonderful disco records and so on. But the lyric content, well, I mean, you know, Tiger Feet, what on earth is that meant to be about as such? But, it was a party song, essentially. But then you got these songs where people started taking things really seriously. And a lot of the heavy metal bands, it was sort of, I don't know, mainly sort of, I suppose, misogynist almost, you know, which went with the territory. Not necessarily, not all bands, but some of them. Okay, and there we go. So, and that's what got me sort of writing lyrics. I was so sort of unsure of myself due to being useless at English, because it took me a few goes to get my English show level, as it was called in those days. I've got some friends to write the lyrics, and I just wrote the tunes. I'd probably come up with a chorus line or something like that, but that was about the size of it back then, yeah.
Now, we are talking about 2024, and you're performing and gigging all over the place. I'm just moving over, if you wonder what that noise was, to grab hold of my much-loved phone, which I need to get a new one, actually, but there we go. You're going to be playing live. So tell us about the song that you're going to be playing live for us.
Okay, this song, I almost forgot I wrote it, actually. I wrote it about 30 years ago when I was living in Norwich, and I was a lodger in this house. And down the road, about 10 minutes walk away, was this pub. And I used to go there for a beer now and again. And I heard this chap, because it was around the time when the Essex Girl joke thing was sort of in its infancy, you might say. And this guy just discovered, obviously, all these Essex Girl jokes. And he was sitting with these two women in a neighbouring table. And he really began to annoy me. And with all these silly jokes, which, it was invented by, I don't know, the popular press, I suppose, at the time. And I just got really annoyed, and he was bigger than me, so I couldn't hit him. So what I had to do was go home to my lodgings and write a song all about what I thought about Essex Girl jokes. And would you like me to play it now, Michelle?
I would love you to play it now.
And if you'd like to join in, because I played, as I said, I only realised about a week or so ago at a gig that I wrote this song, and the whole audience joined in. It's very easy. Anyway, it goes like this. It's a song called Essex International. It goes like this. I'll just get on with the song. I need the accompaniment, drums and everything for that. Very simple rhythm. Here we go. They don't all come from Romford, maybe one or two of stock, but from Barking up to Manning Tree, they say Essex has got the whole damn lot. There's a kind of lust all over the world. It's another human being, just another word for girl. Oh la la, she's so very casual. Oh la la, body language ever natural. Oh la la, is she Essex International? Essex International. Can you twin Bangkok with Basildon? or Southend with San Francisco. Remember Mary Whitehouse, she chose Essex as her dear home. She'll say there's a kind of lust all over the world. Is another human being just another word for girl? Oh la la, she's so very casual. Oh la la, body language ever natural. Oh la la, is she Essex International? Essex International. Some like it hot, some like to take the rot. Some leave some jokes behind, some read between the lines. So why not stop some shocking smears about Italian girls in Algiers, or forget about the geography when the whole world's got them anyway? 'Cause there's a kind of lust all over the world, all over the world. Is another human being just another word for girl? And for the very last time, oh la la, she's so very casual. Oh la la, body language ever natural. Oh la la, is she Essex International? Essex International. Oh la la. Something like that. Thank you very much indeed, ladies. Yeah, I've got Katie here on backing vocals, and Michelle also joining in on backing vocals.
Well, thank you very much,
have
Katie.
A trio.
That was brilliant. I love songs that you actually follow the lyrics, because you see pictures in your head, and you don't often get that with a lot of traditional kind of pop music. You don't. So people are paying, when you're doing a gig, people, yeah, I think for you, will pay attention once, because once they get hooked in, they're like, what's the next line? What's, where's this story going? It's like poetry, it's the storytelling, isn't it?
Oh gosh, yes, yes, please, yes. In fact, I've got all types of different songs. I've written tons and tons in my time, and some tell stories, some are really serious, some are just sort of throwaway pop songs, you know. Some are influenced by books, some influenced like that song just by their real life experience of some, you know what, in a pub or whatever. And just, yeah, yeah. I mean, my latest song, what's my latest song called? It's called, oh yeah, Can't Run Away From Myself. Mm. I was lying in bed saying, thinking about moving to another house or another town. I was thinking, look, you'll always be taking yourself with you. Yeah. And I came up with that line, I can't run away from, and just put it to music straight away. I can't run away from myself. Wish I could, oh gosh, run away from myself. Wish I could be somebody else. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, I can't run away from myself. And I did it sort of Americana, a bit like that. Although I thought, I know, let's make it a little bit more. Give it a twist. I won't say more interesting. Give it a twist. And so I put a sort of electronica background to it, so it sounds like a hybrid piece, you know.
With songwriting, I've asked quite a lot of singer-songwriters this over the last couple of years, and most of them will say yes. Do you ever feel that you get a song coming through you from the universe? It comes out so quickly that you sort of go, oh my God, where does that come? Some songs take ages to get down, and other ones you just go, doesn't even feel like I've written it. It feels like it's a gift.
Yeah, there's two sources on that of even better composers and songwriters than myself. Stravinsky, who wrote The Rite of Spring, he said, I am the vessel through which the rite passed. Which is if you don't know The Rite of Spring, it's a ballet, basically, which, when it was first performed in Paris back in, I think, 1913, it caused a complete riot. Yeah. Beat Bill Haley to it. Anyway, and the other one was Dave Byrne of Talking Heads, who goes, well, I'm just like an antenna. And you are, actually. I mean, it's weird. It's a weird process. It's sort of just, you wonder if you're going to write a song ever again sometimes. Yet something just occurs, basically, and you put together. And sometimes you have to try to get a proper tune. you know, there's written songs where I've written, where I've written a tune, it's oh, come on, he can do better than that, you know. And it's like, actually, there's a song that I put on Facebook yesterday, which starts off with a blues rhythm. Gonna guess you better, gonna guess you even better. All by trial and error, this could last forever. So we're so hard to sever. I'm gonna guess you better, gonna guess you even better. And I started off as a blues tune. It's an old, it's called Note from Alexa. Wind series new remark. I can't remember the blues, but it's basically following the blues pattern. And I thought, no. You know, I'll tell you why I'm lucky. Because, I mean, forget that religious thing, if you want. Put it, park it aside for now. But I'll tell you what, I was brought up singing hymns, ancient and modern. And people say, you know, folk tunes is a treasure chest of wonderful melodies. And indeed, it is. But also, hymns, ancient and modern, and Vaughan Williams' English Hymnal is also just fantastic melodies. And I'm so pleased I came from that direction where I always think melody, you know, and something that's totally singable, that could be belted out like a lot of hymn tunes.
Well, you love your gigs, and you were saying about belting stuff out. You like the audience to get involved feel part of what you're doing. Some bands just play and you've got to watch them. They don't ask you to sing anything. They don't talk to you. You just watch them. But you're not like that. You engage them from the very beginning.
Of course, then
they obviously want to get more and more involved, as I saw on with Martin's video of you. Mm. So what do you get when you get up on stage and you play to an audience? Tell us about the feelings that you get.
I love it. I just love it, especially if there's a nice audience. I mean, life is what you make it when you gig. You turn them into a nice audience. You talk to them, you say hello and all that, and you bring them in. And sometimes it takes a while through the gig or a while. Sometimes they're with you almost immediately. That one, the gig you mentioned, it was fantastic. They were just there straight away. And it was just amazing. Yeah, oh, well, it was lovely. And amazing. But sometimes you have to work at them. I think people do like to sing, actually. I mean, no matter how shy they think they are. Mm-hmm. I think people like to sing as much as people might even like to breathe. You never know.
You need to go and see Stephen live. And I know we'll talk about what gigs you've got coming up at the end, but you're a big fan of Hotbox. I love Hotbox. They've been in to see us as well. I always forget the guy's name who runs it every single time. He'll be really angry. But I do like Hotbox. They do great stuff for youngsters and all age groups. It's all music, and that's what I like about it. You can go and see a band for a couple of quid, 5 quid, 10 quid. And it is important as an independent musician, as you will know, that people like your pages. It costs you nothing. Go along to a gig. Sometimes it might cost you a little bit, but it just means that you can put money back into creating more music.
Yeah. I mean, anyone listening, please, please, if you like, go onto Facebook. I'm also on the Instagram these days as well. Just put in Stephen PH Foster Pilkington, Lager in the Glass, if you like.
Yes. What do you think of the current state of the industry, 2024? What are your thoughts on the music industry today?
Oh, my word. I mean, I'm one of those people who, in my 20s, managed to get a major recording deal once upon a time. And there was almost, in those days, a sort of career path. If you did enough gigs and got enough fans or whatever and did enough good songs and recordings, you could probably get a recording deal. Mm. Now, unless you've got about 20 million people following you on Instagram or whatever it may be, they're not going to touch you. No. Simple as that.
But you can make your own money, though. I mean, there's bands that we will never hear of that have got 150,000, 200,000 followers, and they've got a dedicated fan base of 200, or say 1,000, that will buy everything. And you can still make as a musician with that and never be heard of, but you've got your fan base.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, the record labels, really, I mean, they're owned by people who didn't really care at all about music. They just, people want to make as much money as they could.
Yeah.
And now that Mafia has lost its grip, you say, to some degree, it's nice that, as you say, it's more democratic and people can DIY themselves and quite cheaply record stuff and things, yeah. which is to be welcomed, I suppose.
And across all age groups, that's the thing. It used to be, oh, how old are you? I'm 25. Oh, well, that's the end of that. Nothing like it now. Mm. You could be playing, and if you're out there and you've never played an instrument, you're 60 or 70, go and pick one up and learn it, because there's no age limit to getting up on stage and doing what you love. And there's an audience for you. There's an audience for everybody. And I think that's the best thing about social media as well. Favourite lyric that you've ever written?
Oh, gosh, it depends what mood or day it is, almost. I don't know the deepest lyric I've ever written. Do you want the deepest one?
Yes, go for it.
The upwardly mobile beauty contest of the public transport escalator is shattered by orders to clear the station, rather spoiling their whole demeanour, like wax dolls back into human beings with just feet of clay and feelings. And what they do is what they must. Don't want to be dust beneath the rust, but realise today and every day could be the last. The healthy eating, the weekly counselling, the crystal gazing, and that whole new age thing proves totally useless as instinct takes over and precious moments roll over and over like memories of everything that mattered as the bodies begin to scatter up to the light, yet poisoned air outside. But it's another chance for them to open up their eyes and realise today and every day could be the last.
Oh, that's brilliant. Do you know what? I've asked people for the lyrics before, and that is probably the best I've ever heard. Wow, well done. That's amazing. In fact, if you missed any of this, that will be up on the website, and I'm going to do a little section of that on its own, so you can just listen to that bit over and over and over again. So gigs coming up. What have you got coming up?
Right. The next gig is in Colchester. And it's a place called the Leaf Centre, which I believe is a sort of recycling affair, a bit like other shops that, recycle things, basically. And it's obviously a jolly good cause, and I'm there on 1:30 on a Saturday afternoon. It's the Leaf Centre. It's in central Colchester, opposite Sainsbury's supermarket. And, I'll be playing from 1:30 onwards. It should be a good crack, that. And then, what date was it? I'm playing up in Leeston, actually, at a place called the Engineer's Arms, just past Aldborough. I love Aldborough, because I love Benjamin Britten, you see.
I was going to say, do you have your stuff on? Is it on? Do you have CDs people can buy? Do you put stuff on Spotify and Apple? Or where can people find your music?
Yeah, there is actually Spotify. There are a few songs which... But I mainly put my stuff on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Because I think they're probably one of the fairest platforms where, the actual creators do get some lolly, not just millions of likes or plays or whatever it is. And so I put it on there. And as I said, there is stuff on... there's loads on YouTube as well. Yeah, I usually put stuff there because it's, easy for people to, click on.
Mm.
And put us on that. A note from Alexa I put on yesterday, and it's had some nice comments. Yeah, but that's the basic social media thing.
Yes, so you will find him on Spotify and Apple, but again, listen on that, and doesn't really do it, bumps up the numbers, means nothing. Go on to Bandcamp, and if you do like something, you can download, and you can also songs normally start at 79p to a pound, and if you want to pay more, you can do. So I've had things where people have paid like £2 or £3. You go, oh, I've got £2 for my song, but it means, I tell you what, it really does mean the world. It does mean the world. And also, if you drop a musician a message, again, it's like, oh, because it's because sometimes you just, your friends and family are one thing, but when you get that stranger that goes, oh, I really like what you do, it means a lot, doesn't it?
My word, yes. Yeah. Someone who comes from nowhere in the middle of Australia or goodness knows where. Yeah, that is a wow.
Yeah, it's like,
getting through.
That's it. I'm on top of the world. Now, you're going to end with a song, and we're going to be doing some BVs. Yes.
Okay. Smashing backing vocalists, these two.
Would you like to introduce your lovely partner?
Yeah, this is Katie, who's actually opera singer.
Hello.
Just in her spare time, that is.
We met, actually, at Hadley Castle, didn't we?
Oh.
Because, as I mentioned briefly a moment ago, I play violin as well. And I was playing some violin music, basically jigs and reels or whatever it was. And Katie was singing opera. And do you know what? On the train there, because I was doing a gig in London the night before, on the train there, I was listening to this really obscure, relatively obscure Handel opera, Semele, that's right, yeah. Anyway, and I was listening to this aria, and I went, wow, this is brilliant. I had to listen to it about three times. And when I met Kate, I asked her, what's your favourite aria? And it was that very obscure aria from Handel's Semele.
So it was meant to be sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Thought, yeah, yeah. And we got on really well, you know. We didn't stop talking at all. So...
Love, you see.
The conversation is still going on, yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Oh, just one quick thing as well, just because I've forgotten to say, you are also a writer, besides playing the guitar, violin, singing, songwriter, maths, you're actually also a writer, and you've got books out.
Yes. I've written a novel called Calling, which has got a rather fascinating little scenario. It's about a fledgling opera singer. Well, someone gets into classical music, actually, just through video games, films. It's this artist I've created called XL, who does mashups with classical music and his own rapping, and he gets into all this classical music that way, and also opera as well, of course, and he finds out he has a voice, and he leaves school with absolutely nothing, just about. He's been a very naughty boy, of course. And, unfortunately, he's got this habit, which does take him and other people on a rather perilous journey. It's called Calling. It's written under the name or guise of SFP, which is, of course, my initials. It's been getting some very lovely comments about it. It is quite amusing, even though there are dark moments in it. But it is, I've been told, someone told me off because his family had to keep telling him off because he kept laughing while reading it. Probably thought, who on earth wrote this rubbish?
Is it on Bandcamp as well? Can people get it on Bandcamp?
Actually, this is on Mr. Bezos's Amazon. Yeah.
Right.
And also, I've written a set of short stories as well. Some of them have had success in competitions and so on.
Which is called 12 Mistakes.
And it's called 12 Mistakes, that's right. And you've got a few lyrics at the back of there. And I'm... it's going well. Because at gigs, I sort of sell the books as well as the CDs or whatever. Yeah. I'm brought any CDs today because it's all mainly online anyway. So there we go.
There we go. Wonderful. So there we go. A very talented man in the studio. And he's going to finish with a song. Tell us about this one, Stephen.
Well, this actually comes from one of my favourite literary heroes, a chap called Kurt Vonnegut Jr. And he said in one of his books, he goes, a lot of people live life where... they don't really notice moments of happiness, where it's just something simple like hearing someone in the background playing the piano well or having a nice time with friends and things like that. And it just becomes, they just sort of take it for granted and they don't realise. And you've got to say to yourself, you've got to pause and go, well, if this isn't good, what is? You know, and... it sort of savours certain situations, basically. That's what inspired this song, which is called If This Isn't Good... what is? And I'm going to have my trusty Lafacking vocals from Katie and Michelle here, who are doing this fantastically. All right, shall I start then?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Ooh. Sorry about that. I can't film it. I'm filming, so bear with me one second. There we go. I just want to make sure I'm on my filming before I do that, making Stephen wait. I'll put my microphone up. The problem is when I'm doing filming, it means my phone's live. the person who's calling me is probably in the not in the country at the moment as well, so that didn't help. Right, just bear with me one second, Steve, because I want to make sure I get you at the beginning of this. My phone's decided to go peculiar.